This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
It's Freddie Prinz Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
A rested child is a happy child. Sleep Tight Stories is a weekly podcast that brings comfort and joy to families worldwide with calming bedtime stories. The stories are relevant to children and spark wonder without overstimulation, so they can fall asleep and stay asleep. Listen to Sleep Tight Stories on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. For a bedtime routine you'll miss when they're grown, Sleep Tight Stories.
Waiver Wire Week 4. Let's talk to the pros. Welcome in, everybody, to Fantasy Pros. This is the Fantasy Football Podcast. It is me, Joey P, Joe Pizzapia. That is Dan Harris and Pat Fitzmaurice. And of course, it's you. And today, we're going to be going through our Week 4 waiver wire claims, how much fab we want to spend, the players we're targeting, the players we're dropping, and of course, trying to help all of you fill so many holes in all of those teams that you've got. And we know it was a very difficult week for injuries, that's for sure. Week 3 was very tough on a lot of fantasy football teams, including this fantasy football team here at Fantasy Pros. And I just want to take a moment before we start the show today just to say thank you to everyone who's reached out. I just want to acknowledge that we know and we recognize that going back to some sort of semblance of business as usual is a challenge. It's surreal. It's difficult. But it's a challenge I think that we are up for. And in going back to business is, I think, also part of our collecting healing process. As many of you know right now, certainly by now, that our good friend Mike Tagliere, Tags, as he's known here on the program, lost his fight with COVID this past weekend. And we have been reeling ever since. And I just want to personally thank, on behalf of the company here at Fantasy Pros, all the people in our fantasy football community all weekend that paid tribute to Tags on their shows, on their social media, especially on the shows that I saw Jamie Eisenberg, Liz Loza, Sigmund Bloom, James Coe, Joe Hoka, so many of them. And I'm not naming all of them. I apologize if I missed you. But I just want to say personal thank you for all of us on all of our behalf to all of you. And I also want to thank the literal thousands and thousands of you that have reached out to all of us here individually at Fantasy Pros, all of our listeners, all of our readers, all the love and support during this difficult time, and the stories of how much Tags meant to all of you personally. And all of those messages have meant everything to us, as we know how important this show has been, not only in your lives, but in our lives as well. And we're going to continue to try to make Tag's spirit come to life through these shows, because we know how important all of this work has been to him. And real quick, you know, as part of this healing process, it was thinking about, gentlemen, some affirmations and things like that. And it reminded me of one of my great acting teachers, the great William Esper, who taught so many famous, incredible actors, and this moron here as well, who I actually had the pleasure of working for about 10 years as a professor under him. He always used to say something in class, and what he used to say was, "Love the art in yourself, not yourself in the art." And Tags loved the art in himself. He loved the process. He loved to search for answers. He loved creating content. And that is what he lived for. And he loved doing it. It's what drove him. And when you operate in that fashion, it's such a high, you know, intensity and relentlessness at that level that Tags did, that adulation and recognition just follow normally on their own. So what you witnessed this weekend was a community that includes all of you, our listeners, our readers at Fantasy Pros, everyone who works here, and everyone who just casually has gotten to know or even personally gotten to know Tags over these years. And I just want to say again, you know, thank you. And we know what a wonderful human and wonderful spirit Tags was. And we just want to say thank you once again. I can't stress that enough, how much all of you guys reaching out, who you say, you don't know us, you've never heard of me, I know I'm just a listener, all of those messages that started like that has really helped us in the last 48 hours to get back to this point that we can challenge ourselves yet again. And we will today, and we will continue on. And as I said in this weekend's tribute podcast, we're all in this together. On that podcast, I told you, and we are all part of this together. So in that spirit, Dan, Pat, myself, we're going to try to lose ourselves for an hour here in fantasy football because that's the game we love so much. And that's the best way to honor the spirit of our friend. Dan, I know you and Pat last night did a show too. So I feel like this is kind of important for all of us to kind of get to a place where we can all kind of be together and see each other again too, because I think that's also super important right now.
Yeah, I think basically it's therapeutic for us as much as our listeners to just talk some football. And that's what Tags love to do. And obviously the Sunday night show, he and I have done that since its inception. So, you know, doing it with his close friend, Pat, is obviously something that gives me comfort and I know would have given him comfort and gives Tabby comfort. So, yeah, I mean, it's bizarre. It's hard to really process. But getting back to business as usual as best we can and doling out fantasy advice is what we're going to do and hopefully do it well as Tags would have wanted.
Yeah, and Pat, I know you're so, you just like all of us, you've been overwhelmed with all the messages from everybody. And it's really made a very difficult time in some way easier because we felt so unalone, as it were.
Yeah, just to echo what you said, Joe, I mean, I want to thank everyone who's reached out and, you know, offered their condolences. And it is reassuring to us that our good friend meant so much to so many other people. Like, you have no idea how comforting that is.
Yeah. And again, the comfort and the healing of this show, we know how important this show is to you because of what it means for the hour a day or the 2 hours a day, however many hours a day you listen. We know that you're a part of this world and we're a part of that world with you. So we're going to do the show today and we're going to do the show tomorrow. And that's what we're going to do. So in the essence of doing the show today, let's kick things off and let's get to football because football was wild and wacky and terrible for Dan Harris as a Jet fan yet again, which again, it feels good to have something normal yet again, Dan Harris. I'm sure you would agree, right? The Jets are bad. I feel like a little bit of normalcy crept back into the picture for all of us. Yes. Yeah.
That was probably better than I expected from the Jets. So I don't know what you're talking about at this point. Yes, it was fantastic to feel like, yes, that's what I have come to expect from my football team. It was bad. And if you have any Jets on your fantasy football roster, there's about 17 people on the waiver wire right now that we can talk about that you can fill in because you don't really want any part of that team.
Let's not talk about the Jets roster at all. Instead, let's talk about the waiver assistant at fantasypros.com/myplaybook. The waiver assistant displays all the airdrop scenarios that will improve your roster, shows the available players that will improve your team and by how much, also the impact those moves will make on your lineup, and you can also see which pickups are more valuable for your opponents as well. And don't forget as well at My Playbook about the cheat sheets, because only premium subscribers can utilize the waiver assistant, but our cheat sheets in My Playbook are completely free. Just sync up your league and get instant waiver wire and lineup advice by combining your favorite experts' weekly, rest of season, or dynasty rankings into one customizable cheat sheet. Both our waiver assistant and our cheat sheets are found at fantasypros.com/myplaybook. So make sure you get the playbook and start getting all those guys on your teams. And speaking again, guys on teams, let's start with the running back position, gentlemen, because that is certainly one that you can never have enough of, apparently. So, Dan Harris, let's start with you. Who is your number one add this week at the running back position, and how much of percentage of your fab are you spending on them?
I mean, I think it's pretty obvious this week, right? Like, it's Chuba Hubbard. You know, there was a report that Christian McCaffrey is not going to go on injured reserve, which is great news, of course. And yesterday that he had less than a grade one hamstring strain. I don't know what less than a grade one is, grade zero or a kindergarten hamstring strain. I don't know what it is. But either way, I would be shocked if he plays at least this week. And just given what we saw last year with how much time he missed, they're going to be careful with him. They're 3-0, so they're in a good spot right now. So I think they'll be careful with him. Hubbard was a guy who, I don't know, when we were talking about the handcuffs, I don't know about you guys, but when we were talking about the handcuffs in draft season, Hubbard wasn't one of the guys that I was like going right after, just because I didn't necessarily think that if something happened to McCaffrey, it would just be pretty much all Hubbard, like it was with Mike Davis. I don't know whether or not Royce Freeman would factor in, but it certainly looked very close to being all Hubbard in this last game. And I know they didn't have a game plan, but he was playing over 75% of the snaps once McCaffrey went out. So for me, regardless, this is, we talked about it with Alexander Mattison, you know, last week. Mattison was the guy to, should be rostered anyway, even if Cook was going to play like we all expected at this time last week, because if something happens, then he's like a guy who you are starting at worst as an RB2, maybe even an RB1. And I feel like Hubbard's got to fall in to that category here against Dallas. So he is a guy who I'm going after. It's not somebody who I don't blow all my fab like out of the gate anyway. And we saw what happens with Elijah Mitchell, right? A guy who looks like a league winner and now might be completely worthless. So it's 20% for me, because I think realistically it's a short term sort of thing. But having a guy who's going to be a strong RB2 for at least a week, which I think we can at minimum expect Hubbard to be, is worth to me about 20% of your fab budget.
Well, that is the question. I don't want to be presumptive here, Pat, but is Chuba also number one for you? And if so, how much of investment do you make if it indeed is possibly a short-term fix?
He is number one for me as well, Joe. And I've got him, I'm willing to go up to about 33 for him. We saw, as Dan mentioned, the Panthers be somewhat conservative with McCaffrey last year and bringing him back. The next five opponents on Carolina's menu: Dallas, Philadelphia, Minnesota, the Giants, Atlanta. Like, no real daunting run defenses there. Just in case you want to be covered, if you are the McCaffrey owner, I think like this is important to you, obviously, to get him. And you're going to have to compete against other teams in your league that are hurting at running back for him. So I think it's going to take a somewhat robust bid to get him this week. I don't know if 20% is going to do it. I don't know if 33% is going to do it. But I think that's at least a competitive bid and is going to get you in the running for him.
See, I was also thinking, and again, he's my number one also, just to state the fact that somewhere between that 25 and 30, I guess, you know, if you're really desperate or you're that CMC owner, that somewhere in the 30 range is probably what you need to do to get it done. But gentlemen, how about for those teams that are maybe playing against the team that has Christian McCaffrey this week? How much would you spend or overspend, Dan, in order to block someone else from filling that huge hole in the number one overall player on their roster, Dan?
Joey P, you know me. I'm a disciplined fantasy manager, okay? You think that I'm just going to go willy-nilly? You know, what's funny is we saw with Mitchell, I think I was the high guy at 30% for Mitchell. If you bid 30% of your fab budget on Elijah Mitchell, you got him in 0% of leagues. He was going for like 50, 60, 90, 100% of fab budgets, which is just crazy. I'm okay with letting him go because, I mean, look, you guys can correct me. I don't think that kind of, I don't know, what did we get from Mike Davis last year when he filled in for CMC? Like,
you got RB2, 80? I would say.
Yeah, nice, but solid, like, especially in the beginning, in the beginning, like 75% maybe of what we would get from CMC. I don't really know whether or not we're going to see that necessarily from Hubbard. I'm not convinced that Royce Freeman isn't, there's like a triple negative for you, that Royce Freeman isn't going to factor.
Way
in.
To go, editor-in-chief.
There
me
you go.
Paul that, Good. Me, Dan that, Harris.
I need to work on that for sure. However, that being said, look, are you saying, like, would I throw an extra 5% on to try to block the guy? Okay, that's fine. In the end, though, it is something worth understanding. And we have an extra week this year, of course, in fantasy. Most leagues have adapted to that. It's 1 week. I'm just not going to go crazy. There's going to be so many guys later on in the season, guys. And I know, by the way, a lot of fantasy managers, because everyone pays attention till week five and then you fall out of it sometimes. And then some people don't really. There's going to be so many guys. This situation is not a unicorn. Okay. There are going to be a lot of guys that you're going to want to spend fab dollars on. So I'm just not willing to blow it all, even for a guy, again, who that Matt Rule has already come out and says not going on IR. So it's something where I'm not really willing to go past 25.
Let's take a quick break in the action to address something many of you may be interested in. Your spouse, significant other, roommate, probably don't consider your fantasy football hobby to be bringing in loads of money, do they? Maybe they'd take it more seriously if your winnings paid the bills, right? Well, guess what? If you've got skills that aren't paying the bills like they should be, the skills you've been honing each week
just by playing fantasy can be applied to something else that's very similar, but potentially a lot more lucrative. You can transfer your skills to day trading without spending more time than you already do and walk away with a lot more money. Want to learn? There's going to be a free live trading session on Sunday hosted by the 2019 DraftKings FFWC champion Jesse Martin. He and 24-year veteran of the trading world David Prince will show you exactly how you can apply your fantasy football skills to day trading and put more money in your pocket for the same amount of work. Space is limited, so sign up now because day trading doesn't have an off-season. Go to www.t3live.com/fantasy to register. Again, that's www.t3live.com/fantasy. And now, back to the action. Let's go to the second guy on your list. Pat, we'll start with you this time. Who is number two at the running back position for you that you would want to spend fab and how much?
All right, so this is a tricky one. It's Peyton Barber. We don't know the status of Josh Jacobs, and the Raiders play a Monday night game this coming week. So we might not know Jacobs' status until like when the Sunday games kick off. It still might be up in the air. I think it's worth making a bit of, say, 10% just in case, because I think the Chargers have a pretty suspect run defense. That's probably their Achilles heel on defense right now. They gave up, I think, 90 rushing yards to Antonio Gibson in week one, let Tony Pollard have the big game in week two. And then this past week, it was the 100-yard game for Clyde Edwards-Helaire. So I think, it shocked me that Barber had the 100-yard game, of course. Like, this
you
is,
and me both, my friend.
Yeah, this is the ultimate.
I knew it, to be clear. I had it.
You know, but as well as the Raiders' offense is working right now and that passing threat they have, like, I can see why the running game would be have some openings. And clearly they don't want Kenyon Drake to do anything more than that third down back role. Like, they just using Barber is a complete proxy for Jacobs. So if we're still not sure about Jacobs, I think it's worth, 8 to 10% to make a play for Barber and be able to start him this week if you need help at running back.
Fun fact on the Raiders I picked up this morning, this is the first team in NFL history to go 3-0 against three successive 10-win teams from the previous season to open a season. That is kind of shocking. Now, I know we're always set up for failure when it comes to the Raiders. They get off to good starts and they look like they're potentially a playoff team, and then it all falls apart and everything disintegrates. But I'm with you. He's my number two as well, and I was thinking the same thing. I want to overspend, and then, of course, right, the bad luck of, well, Jacobs is okay. He's going to go, and the next thing you know, you wasted some fab. So I would be careful on that number as well, just like Pat is kind of practicing a little caution. How about you? Who is your number two, Dan, at the running back position, and how much would you spend on them?
It's basically, technically, Barber is my number three, but it's like 2A and 2B here with Kenneth Gainwell, who basically is just, hello, Kenneth Gainwell, it's time for our waiver wire show. Let us discuss you, which is basically what we do every single week. I think the reason I'm a little more lukewarm on Barber is, number one, he's Peyton Barber. So it's very difficult for me to just get past that fact, despite what we saw. But second, I do think, Pat, as you mentioned, unless we get Jacobs declared out early on in the week, like, it's just going to be one of these things where we're not going to know. So if you're the manager who rosters Jacobs, that's probably where I'd push him a little bit to the head of the line, so I could at least have that situation covered. But I don't think we're going to know, and I think it's going to be really tough to start that guy. So for me, Gainwell is a guy who I'm not starting. That we haven't seen tonight, of course. Mm-hmm. I'm not planning to start, but he is somebody who you can kind of get away with in a very, very deeper league if you absolutely have to start, if you're desperate. And he's somebody who obviously has some high-end insurance, capital. I don't think he'd get the running back share all to himself, but he's at least got it. But both these guys are 5%ers for me. Like, I'm just not doing, if fading Peyton Barber cost me a fantasy week, I think I can live with that as a fantasy manager. So I'm willing to sort of hold off and not go crazy. 5% for both Gainwell and Barber is my 2 and 3.
Kenneth Gainwell is definitely the mascot of the waiver wire show. I can tell you that. Even from week one, week two, I was in the mind of, I think he was my number one that first week, if you recall. I was like, why isn't everyone spending $100 on Eli Mitchell? Why don't you just add Kenneth Gainwell for two? Just stick him on your roster and see as the season goes on what evolves, because it was encouraging, at least, that somebody from week one, a rookie, could be just involved in the offense at all. And I don't know about you guys, too. This is my big takeaway from this week. It felt like you saw a lot of mistakes and a lot of misplays and a lot of strange moments. And it felt like, because you saw a lot of green in the NFL. There was a lot of new talent. There's a lot of rookies who are playing right away, especially the quarterback position. And it just feels like a weird transition league, almost like instructional league where people are trying to put things together still. And it seems like there's definitely a class of teams that are not in that realm and definitely a class of teams that are. And it's a fascinating point where we are in the NFL because there's so much youth that is playing and starting right now that the game is in a little weird transition until some of those guys kind of get up to speed. Gainwell was my three this week, but he was my one for week, so I don't want to talk about him anymore. Pat Fitzmaurice, give me the rest of your guys. Who's your 3, 4, 5, if you even have them at running back this week?
All right, so 3 and 4, interchangeable, Gainwell, and then Royce Freeman, just in case it's maybe less of a Hubbard show than we think it's going to be. In which case, you know, if it's more of a 50-50, Royce is going to have some value. But again, now we're talking about 2 or 3%, I think. And then fifth would be Giovanni Bernard. And although we don't know how he is after that flip into the end zone he had where he seemed to injure himself, and this guy was already recovering from a high ankle sprain, which is kind of the reason I think his snap share was maybe muted a bit in weeks 1 and 2. Like, I think this guy could be Tom Brady's new James White, but he's maybe not been healthy all season. And once he was finally starting to look a little bit healthy yesterday, he might have gotten hurt again. So not real clear on him right now. I'm only throwing a buck or two down for Gio in a PPR league or maybe a half point PPR league. But yeah, that's about it. Beyond Hubbard and Barber, I'm not too excited about any of these guys.
On Sunday morning, Pat, I was talking about how Brady had the third most pass attempts going into the weekend. The only guys that had more were, you know, Justin Herbert and Carr. That's it. 45-year-old Tom Brady. They got to find some balance here to this offense. And I don't know if Gio is going to be that guy a little bit, or somebody else in the backfield has got to do something. Dan Harris, are there any other running backs that you think can do anything that you want to have any attention thrown to this week?
No, in that I don't really think any of these guys is going to do anything, but I agree. You know, Gainwell and Barber are my 2, 3, whatever. My fourth guy is actually Tony Jones. And I also talk about Tony Jones every time. You can't start Tony Jones. Like, it's not somebody who you're excited about. But if something happened to Alvin Kamara, like, he is going to be the guy in what is admittedly right now a very inconsistent offense. So I'd just as soon have that guy on my roster right ahead of Royce Freeman. Gio, to me, again, by the way, please, Gio, don't flip into the, and everybody stop flipping into the end zone, okay? We saw Lamar Jackson a little bit banged up. But I do think that Gio's involvement here was because of the rare negative game script that is just not going to be the case. There was no Antonio Brown. Even, you know, Gronkowski left a little bit. It's hard for me to see him having a major role here in this offense. So, but again, like you guys, like, this is a 1 to 2%, you know, not, probably more like I'll wait for Fab to clear and then just pick these guys up off waivers.
All right, let's transition then to the wide receivers here. And we'll start with who the number one is. For you, Dan Harris, who is that number one guy that you want to spend on this week and how much?
There are a lot of intriguing names. I don't know if you guys feel the same. There are a lot of intriguing names here, a wide receiver. And there have been, really, for a couple of weeks. My number one guy, and it's not with a bullet, but it's there, is Jakobi Meyers. And really, the reason is because I think that the James White injury, and again, unless I've missed something, we don't know exactly what it is, but considering he was carted off with a hip injury, I think that probably we can expect him to at least miss a little bit of time. I think that that's going to open up the door for some targets for Meyers. We saw, obviously, 14 of them yesterday, but he had, you know, he's got 29 now on the season. That's not nothing. He's clearly the option there. Jonnu Smith is playing terribly. Sorry, Joe. I know we're a big Jonnu Smith, you know, unit. He's playing
he
terribly.
He basically caught a ball, spun around, and threw it to the defender behind him yesterday.
Right. He really
I'm still trying to figure out. I've never seen quite that before. It was stunning.
He should have been credited with the interception, frankly. But bottom line is they are going to need somebody to rely on. I think it's really going to be him. Again, they are going to be playing in negative game scripts more often than not, I think, because they're just not a very good team and they don't have much going on offensively. They need something to go on besides Damian Harris. I think Meyers is going to be that guy. But with that said, there are a lot of options this week, as I said. So this is not a, oh man, you got to go out there. You got to rush to get Jakobi Meyers. It's basically the same as 1, 2, and 3. So he, for me, is just a 10%er, a guy who I'm willing to spend on there.
one can only imagine Dan did not say Emmanuel Sanders because he already has him rostered in 100% of his leagues.
Isn't he rostered everywhere? Because I've basically been talking about him for 4 months. No? All right, fine.
Yeah, no. Hey, man, even a broken clock is right twice a day. Pat, let's go to you with the number one. Who is the guy that you want to spend the fab on and how much?
Well, gosh, so you're making me praise Dan by having Emmanuel Sanders at the top of my rankings here. We talked about him on the show last night, and it's just so odd the way they're using him, this 34-and-a-half-year-old receiver who has become their designated vertical guy. Like, they've got Cole Beasley as the short area receiver. They use Diggs all over the field. And Beasley's average depth of target coming into week three was like 18-some yards. So these are high-value targets from a top quarterback. And for whatever reason, like Sanders and Allen have the same easy rapport that Allen and Diggs had and established quickly last year. And you know, Sanders has it with Allen too now. So as hard as it is for me to believe, I normally don't chase free agent wide receivers in their mid-30s. I think Sanders is worth $6 or $7.
All right, fair enough. I gotta get off the Dan Praise wagon here and go Tim Patrick. How in the world is Tim Patrick only rostered in 18% of leagues right now? What is going on? What kind of absurd number is that? Is anybody watching what's going on in terms of the target share? And, oh, wait, KJ Hamler's out for the year two now. So it's going to be this two-man show of Patrick and Sutton. And I understand the Denver Broncos schedule has been quite favorable. But I would definitely, right now, like, I started Tim Patrick in, I don't know, like, four or five of my leagues this week out of obvious necessity. But at the same point, I think if he's still out there, he's a guy for the next few weeks you can feel pretty good about starting. So for me, I'm willing to pay up a little bit. Maybe go to that $6-$7 range, somewhere in that range. If you want to go to double digits, if you've had terrible luck at wide receiver and it's a bad performance, which is understandable or some injuries, that's a route you can go. Dan Harris, who is number two for you this week at the wide receiver position in terms of waiver wire ads?
I think I'll just look. I think Myers, as I said, is my number one, but Emmanuel Sanders and Tim Patrick are my two and three. And all three of them for me are 10% guys, because I think that they're the only guys who are available on the waiver wire. And there are a lot of intriguing names out there for deeper leagues, for sure, who might have more upside. But I think all three of them can start for your fantasy team right away. Pat, you mentioned Sanders. Yeah, yesterday had basically a 16 ADOT. I mean, this is what it is. And my point on Sanders and why I liked him coming in, Joe, is we had talked about the fact that there was room for a third receiver in that offense because we saw it last year with John Brown, and it was either going to be Gabriel Davis, who you and Yates thought it might be, or it was going to be Sanders, who I thought it was going to be, and it's very clearly Sanders. So with that, you can add him any day of the week, and he should produce pretty readily. As for Patrick, yeah, this is just not 18% rostered. 18%. I don't know.
What it is, Dan? It's that thing that you talked about. It sounds like the name of somebody who works in accounting.
You're accounting.
And therefore, they just can't wrap their mind around that a guy named Tim Patrick. I mean, it's not Deshaun Patrick or some cool name or something like that. It's just Tim. Just Tim Patrick. Yeah, and you know what? It might sound boring, but the stats are not.
You know what? He needs a nickname. Tim Firebreather Patrick. Mm. And he's going to be like, oh, his roster percentage is now 78%.
Yeah. So, Dragon.
But for me, look, I don't want to belabor here, Patrick, because I talk about him every week, but you did mention it as well. Hamler, we learned right before we started podcasting, out for the season, not that he was a threat. Jerry Jeudy is probably, again, all the reports, whatever it was, 4 to 6 weeks. It is most likely on the high end of that timetable. Like that's something where he's going to be gone for a while. And by the way, even when Jeudy was there, Patrick was playing just as many snaps, he was running as many routes. Like, he was an integral part of that offense, and he has been since last year. The upside isn't there. It's not going to be this explosive sort of guy most weeks who's going to pile on 2 touchdowns or 20 targets, because that's just not the way the Broncos run their offense. Understandably, they have a great defense. They can rely on that for sure. But either way, this is a guy you plug into your lineup and you feel okay about the same way you can with Jacoby Myers and the same way you can with Emmanuel Sanders. All three of these guys, 10%, you can honestly just say, like, I'm putting this guy in my lineup and I'm not worried too much about it.
Yeah. All right. So for number two on your end, Pat, who's that second guy wide receiver you got your eye on?
So that's Jacoby Myers. And I do echo what Dan said about maybe his role being enhanced now with James White destined to miss time. And with the hip injury, I have to imagine he's out at least like 3 to 4 weeks. Number three. So I would have said Marquez Callaway until we learned the KJ Hamler news. And now I think it has to be Tim Patrick, and he's going to be in those three receiver sets all year, and it's maybe not going to be the most prolific passing attack in the league, but you know, there's enough. Teddy does a good job of supporting multiple receivers, and did last year when we saw all of DJ Moore, Robbie Anderson, and Curtis Samuel pay off for fantasy managers. So there might be enough love for three receivers to go around in Denver. And then, yeah, so I'll bump down Marquez Callaway to number four, who showed signs of life this past week. It was encouraging, only five targets, but within the context of the very few number of targets the Saints had, very few pass attempts, I think, like, we can maybe start considering him as someone we want to roster again.
Yeah, of course. He had a good game right after I dropped him in every single one of my leagues that I had him. So I wasn't never quite sure what chagrin was until I saw Marquez Callaway catch a touchdown pass to New England this weekend. And now I understand the definition of chagrin, and much to my, I could tell you that much. You know, it's interesting as well, as we talk about Gainwell, we talk about Patrick multiple times on these shows. I think it's important to drive home the note to everybody. This is why you don't just pay attention to the guys who are at the top of the waiver wire list. We keep talking about these same guys because if you're proactive instead of reactive on the waiver wire, it's going to cost you a lot less to get these guys on your rosters. Probably cost you a couple bucks, maybe $2, $3 to get a Tim Patrick. Now, this week is going to cost you a whole heck of a lot more, probably three times as much potentially in order to roster somebody like that. Maybe even the same with Gainwell as the running back position gets thin. So remember this next year. It's not always those guys you're spending $50 on. It's the guys you spend two or three in the early weeks just to have them in-house to see what they might do. Let's take another quick break in the action to tell you about Bachan's. Bachan's is the Japanese-American barbecue sauce that you have to have on your table. You can use it for everything. Noodles, marinating meats, dipping in fries, pizza, and everything in between. It's got a bold, fresh flavor. The consistency of the sauce is a little less viscous than the tomato-based American barbecue sauces, but it caramelizes as you cook, and you can put it on wings just like every other sauce you ever had before, but it's going to taste even better. It's BPA-free, chef-inspired squeeze bottle. It can easily be drizzled onto any dish, and it's just got simple ingredients, 10 of them, that's it, and they're all things that actually make sense. They're organic ingredients, no weird things that you can't pronounce, no preservatives or flavorings, just real authentic Japanese barbecue sauce flavor. That's what Bachan's is all about. So start grilling with Bachan's right now. You got your tailgate season, you got everything going on, it's football time, and Bachan's is that sauce that you're not going to be able to live without. So go to bachans.com/fantasypros, use that promo code fantasypros at checkout for 20% off. Again, that's Bachan's, bachans.com/fantasypros. Use that promo code fantasypros to get your first bottle or 10. You are not going to want to run out this tailgate season. Myers was up there for me as well, gentlemen. Emmanuel Sanders begrudgingly as well in my top five. So was Callaway. The other guy that made my top five personally was Hunter Renfro, because I'm liking this whole third and Renfro nickname that they gave him. See, he's got a cool nickname. Tim Patrick needs to go hang out with Hunter Renfro. But this also seems to be something that's working here for the Raiders. And he's not the only guy out there too on that team. Brian Edwards is out there rostered in 16% of leagues. Hunter Renfro's in 11. So there's certainly a lot of names out there. We can go even deeper this week with guys like Terrace Marshall who are out there, Mecole Hardman, even AJ Green, back-to-back useful weeks, which is not something we've said about AJ Green for quite some time. So Dan, when you're kind of looking at the rest of the pool of wide receivers, what are some of the names that are outside maybe these top three, four, or five that you feel like can actually be useful, in, especially in those deeper leagues people are playing in?
Yeah, I think it depends on what you need, right? Because some people, and sometimes I go into this, generally speaking with wide receivers, unless there are guys who can absolutely help you right away, like I think the top three that we've talked about here with Myers, Sanders, and Patrick are, for the most part, I look long term. Like I want to add a guy like Terrace Marshall, like you mentioned, because I do think that even if I don't feel that comfortable starting him right now, his targets and how Robbie Anderson looks, definitely somebody who, you know, can have value down the road. I like the Raiders guys as well, as you mentioned, certainly Renfro and Brian Edwards. I'm probably still, because I just can't quit him, looking at Mecole Hardman, just because he's getting the snaps and he's running the routes. And, you know, they probably have to do something in that offense because they are not doing that. I mean, the offense is fine, obviously. But I'll
isn't fine. I mean, they had three turnovers in the possessions to start the game. And the last play from the previous game was a turnover as well. So they've got some things to fix there on offense.
I don't buy that this is what's going to happen, but I do think it's at least in the realm of possible outcomes that teams have decided that they are just going to focus. You can't stop Travis Kelce, by the way. It doesn't matter what you do. You can't stop Travis Kelce. But I do think you could see them saying, like, you know what? Tyreek Hill is not going to beat us. We are going to bracket Tyreek Hill with two, three guys, whatever we want, which could leave the door open for Hardman. So he's at least somebody who I kind of am looking at in deeper leagues. Just a couple other names. I'm kind of looking at James Washington just because eventually you need a body in that offense, right? And we don't know if Deontay Johnson can play. We don't know if Juju Smith-Schuster can play. Chase Claypool even got a little banged up in this game. They're going to need somebody, especially against Green Bay, where they're going to need points. So I'm not above looking at him. And Marquez Valdez-Scantling, another guy who hit the prop yesterday. We were talking about props earlier, Pat. That was one that I had over. It's always nice when the props hit, like, right off the bat, right, with one long reception. But he's a guy who obviously should be more involved, you feel like? And we saw, look, what happens if Davante Adams goes out? Maybe he does sort of step up there and have the big one. So those are some deeper names that I'm kind of looking at. But nobody I'm overly excited about. Nobody, I think, other than the top few are worth more than 5%. And if you are going that high, it is for me for somebody like Callaway, who at least has the potential to make an impact pretty quickly.
So outside of the 5%ers for you, Pat, is there somebody else that's a little lower on the trough you're throwing a buck or two on just to pick up for depth or to see where it goes in the month of October?
Hardman really jumps to mind for me, too. A receiver in a prolific offense.
Stop encouraging Dan. Just stop. You've done three shows with Dan today, and it shows. I just want to tell you.
I named like 10 names. So if Pat picked one of those 10 names, I was taking a victory anyway. So there
you go.
That's
fair.
Yeah, I wasn't going off the board with anyone beyond who Dan just named. We also have to like that Hardman was involved in jet motion a bunch of times yesterday, got some jet sweeps. There's room for a lot more from him if anything ever did happen to Tyreek Hill, who's gotten banged up over the years, not the biggest guy in the world. And yeah, we're just investing in a high-powered offense here, one that isn't too particularly interested in running the ball. So that's kind of where I'd go as a guy who probably is only going to cost you a buck or two now but might be more valuable down the road.
The one thing I'll add to that, Joe, if it's okay, is just the fact that we were talking about it, Pat, last night, is that the KC defense is not good. Like, they are really, really struggling right now. If they are going to be this offense that's going to give up a ton of points, and pretty quickly teams are moving the ball up and down the field against them, then that's going to lead to even more need for offense from Kansas City, more pass attempts, more chances for Hardman. So he's not a bad guy just to take a shot on. And fantasy managers are basically just off Hardman. He's the exact type of guy that were like, no, I bought into this last year. I bought into this last couple of years. I'm out. I'm not doing this. So he's the type of guy you can just scoop up for like a dollar.
With the injury to A.J. Brown and the questionable return next week for him, and, you know, we saw Julio sit out in the second half a little bit there, and maybe that's just protection. Maybe that's what's going on there, just so we don't lose anybody else. We have this game in hand, okay. Nick Westbrook-Akyine, I hope I'm saying it correctly.
I think it's Akina.
It's Akina? Okay. I've heard different people say different things, so I'm going to go with whatever Dan says, because Dan's always right. I've learned that lesson here on the show already today. They've got the Jaguars and Jets, the next two matchups, the Jets first, both on the road. Is this a player, Dan, in your opinion, that in the deeper leagues people should have their eye on, just as a stopgap, perhaps?
No. And I think that the reason that it's no is, number one, I'm expecting Julio to be okay. Like, I haven't heard anything about the fact that he's going to miss time. I am expecting Brown to miss time, but I also think, and I think, Joe, we saw it this week, and Yates and I talked about it a little bit on the Friday, is that when you go up against the Jets, you don't have to throw the ball all that much. I mean, Derrick Henry can see 30 carries in this game and the game's over. Or Ryan Tannehill can, you know, I think that's more of what we're going to see sort of in the short term with that schedule for the Titans. So rather than take a shot on a guy who I was like, hello, I don't know anything about you or how to pronounce your name. I was just watching the way the broadcasters pronounced it on that game. I'm just not going to take a shot there. And the easy matchups almost push me further away from that than towards it.
Let's take a quick break in the action to tell you about Prize Picks. Turn your picks into real cash with Prize Picks, one of our favorite daily fantasy apps. It's fast and it's easy, and it all starts with Prize Picks. Simply pick two of the five players and decide if they will go over or under their stat projection. Prize Picks has a ton of stats to choose from, including yards, receptions, touchdowns, fantasy points, and more. Make your picks, lock it in. That's all you got to do. It's easy. The more players you pick, the more money you can win, up to 10 times your money. Prize Picks is one of the best ways to play. Prize Picks also allows mixed sport entries. You can take the over on LeBron and the under on Mahomes, and you can win cash. That's right. Every sport you can think of, they've got too. Football, college football, basketball, college basketball, baseball, soccer, mixed martial arts, and more. Prize Pick entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. It's that easy. It's safe, and it offers fast withdrawals, and the Prize Picks app is rated 4.8 in the App Store with rave reviews. Prize Picks is my only go-to for daily fantasy. Prize Picks is the easy way to play daily fantasy. Daily fantasy simplified. Find it in the App Store today or on Google Play. Use our promo code GRIDIRON to receive 100% instant deposit match up to $100. Again, that promo code GRIDIRON to receive 100% instant deposit match for up to $100. Prize Picks, fantasy sports simplified. Let's talk about the quarterbacks right now. For me right now, Sam Darnold played very well these last few weeks, obviously. The schedule does start to change a little bit. As Pat was saying, it's certainly not difficult, but certainly the first 3 weeks have been very favorable to Sam Darnold and company. However, I'm looking at Sam Darnold right now, and some of those teams, especially in those 14-team leagues you're in, certainly starting to look like a guy you want to start a quarterback. But just because also with the quarterback position being something, if you know you drafted somebody, they're not playing well, even in a 12-team league right now, Sam Darnold's an intriguing guy to pick up, because even just to cover the bye week or just as an insurance policy, for me, you know, 5% of your budget, $3-4 or something like that, if he's still floating out there, just to have the talent on the roster and maybe play a beneficial matchup seems to be something that I would be looking to do. Pat, is there a quarterback right now that you've seen in these last few weeks or even this week that you think is worthy of a pickup for the rest of season? And if so, what percentage of the fab would you want to spend on that?
Let me just echo the Darnold love, Joe. I spent 4 or 5% for him. He runs a little bit too. We saw him run in 2 touchdowns last week. He is going to lose some easy completions with McCaffrey out, although Hubbard isn't totally useless in the passing game either. But we've seen that he has established a nice chemistry with DJ Moore. He still has other credible weapons in Terrace Marshall and Robbie Anderson. And he's just looked good. I love that he's in this, you know, after being mistreated in the Adam Gase system for so long that now he has landed with Matt Rhule and Joe Brady, just like this perfect environment for a quarterback to develop and maybe fully take flight after, you know, just not getting the mentorship that he needed. So, I'm pretty excited about Darnold. I've been playing him in a couple super flex leagues, and it's worked out pretty well so far.
Same here. He was drafted as my third quarterback, and my goodness, the last 2 weeks I started him just because I kind of liked him better than the second quarterback option the way they were playing. And you're right. I got to give that organization great credit because they rolled the dice and took a shot here. And this could have blown up in their face and people could have said, oh, you had all that draft capital, why didn't you spend it on a young quarterback? But instead, they spent it on a young quarterback who's already been in the league for a few years, who had clear talent, and now they put him with better weapons, with a better team around him, and certainly better play calling and better coaching, and now he's starting to blossom. It is early. I want to practice a little caution. These next 6 weeks, I think, are going to be far more important than the first three. But Dan, it has got to be very encouraging for anybody that's rostered Sam Darnold already in Superflex or even, you know, those deeper leagues we talked about at quarterback, because the returns have been pretty good so far.
Very fun story. I'm in a charity best ball league where the scoring for quarterbacks is like reversed almost. Like it's like a bad quarterback league where incompletions count for tons. Interceptions count for a ton, pick sixes, you like win the league. And I drafted Lamar Jackson first just because I didn't even understand the scoring at first. Then I got caught on and I drafted Darnold late. And Lamar Jackson is my starting quarterback every single week because Sam Darnold is not a great quarterback in the format this year somehow because he's morphed into a competent quarterback. First of all, this is great to see. As a Jets fan, I'm very happy to see Sam Darnold succeeding here. I think he certainly is my top quarterback ad for this week. I just think that there probably aren't that many managers who are struggling for that at this point, because you've got like your rock solid top 12, and you've got the Kirk Cousins and the Derek Carrs of the world who have just kind of filled in. So if you are still struggling, I do think that the most widely available option, Darnold, they get Dallas this coming week. That should provide points. He does lose a little bit without CMC, but I think with that system, with everything that's got going on, he'll still provide value. So he is my number one, but not a guy who I'm like running after, certainly in single quarterback
leagues. Yeah, I would say 5% or, you know, $3-4, something like that, out of the 100 you could pick him up for pretty comfortably. You know who's struggling at quarterback? The people who drafted Trey Lance or Justin Fields aggressively and then Matt Ryan. Like, that's not the combination so far that's been good for you. So it's time to pivot off that and stop waiting. I know some people are holding out for that Giant game, but I think now you can pretty much go off that. Let's talk about tight end, too. Whether streaming or rest of season, is there somebody that pops for you, Pat, at the tight end position that you feel is worthy of our attention? Because I know I've got a name that I've moved up significantly after this week.
So with Evan Engram only about 36% rostered right now, and with all the injuries that the Giants are dealing with at receiver, I'm kind of interested in him. Just on pure talent, I think he's probably the best of the widely available tight ends. So, I mean, I know we've been waiting for this to happen ever since the promise of his rookie season, and he keeps letting us down, but there might be a little bit of opportunity. I think we are starting to see some incremental steps from Daniel Jones to being a competent NFL passer. So I don't know. It's kind of now or never for Engram, but to me, the talent level warrants an investment more than the situational circumstances for some of these other guys at tight end.
All right, Dan, when it comes to tight end, is there somebody either streaming this week that you want to pick up, or is there a player maybe you see who's starting to grow in their offense that you think is worthy of some fab? And if so, how much?
Not much, whoever it is. I don't think this is a week where you're like, ooh, I found my tight end, I'm good. I do think that Engram is one of the guys, for sure. He's technically two for me, but a lot of it is because I would expect Sterling Shepard and Darius Slayton to miss. This is the opportunity. And Engram is a little bit, unfairly maligned, I think, just generally speaking. But actually, I have Tyler Conklin as my number one, and they're 1A and 1B for me. It was great to see him get heavily involved, 8 targets, 7 catches. 70 yards and a touchdown. And again, we've talked about it on the recap show, where it's like, there is a third option, given how well Kirk Cousins is playing, given how much the pass, and especially if Dalvin Cook is out, there is a third option, even with Madison getting so much work. Maybe it's KJ Osborne, but maybe Tyler Conklin does develop into being sort of that reliable guy with a reliable tight end. It's worth a shot for me, more of a long-term play, saying this could be a guy who eventually works his way into borderline top 12 status. So I'm not spending any significant fab on him. This is like a dollar, maybe two on either him or Engram, but those are my 1-2, and everybody else can kind of, I'm ignoring.
There's one other guy out there, going to throw Dawson Knox's name out there. He saw 4 targets in the first game, caught 4 or 5 yesterday. He's got 2 touchdowns on the year already. We always keep talking about, well, are they ever going to add a tight end? Are they going to make a trade in the Buffalo Bills to add somebody? Is it going to be a Zach Ertz or somebody like that? Maybe Dawson Knox can just do enough to kind of hover at the very end of tight end one. And if so, once again, for a dollar, you could pick him up and find out. And for those of you who are like me and disappointed so far at Jonnu Smith's receiving ability and stunned by his passing ability to the other team, yes, passing. I think he should have gotten a passing touchdown. I disagree with the interception call. I would like to score that as a passing touchdown for Jonnu Smith. Then maybe a guy like Dawson Knox is somebody you should pick up as well. But Conklin, also a good one. And there are a few names, I think, even Hooper this week streaming. But once again, the thing that makes the Cleveland Browns tough is that they seem pretty confident in doing whatever they want to do game plan wise week to week. And it's a little frustrating for fantasy owners, I would say. Right, Dan?
Yeah, for sure. Like, this is, I'm tired of relying on a Cleveland tight end to sort of save me, even though it could be a brilliant sort of thing. Sorry, I'm just looking at the wire that came across. Bruised ribs for Juju Smith-Schuster. So hopefully that's something he's considered day to day. Hopefully he can suit up next week. And obviously that would make James Washington far less appealing, even though he was only way down on the thing. For tight end, yeah, for me, it's just Conklin. It's Engram. Knox is a good one, actually, Joe. And I think probably I should. He is third on my list. But he is somebody in deeper leagues, so I think you can rely on. The big deal for me is, like, I just don't know if Josh Allen is going to throw, 4 touchdown passes every single game, since Emmanuel Sanders is getting 3 of them anyway. So I think we have to be careful. But for me, it's really Conklin, Engram, a little bit down to Knox, and then nobody else.
After that dogfight week 1, Pat, Buffalo Bills seem like they've really clicked. And they're starting to roll right now. And I think that's very dangerous for the rest of the AFC, don't you?
I do. And, Knox has that good quarterback connection. Like, that's, we like that he's working with a plus quarterback, and he is not a Jack Doyle catch and fall down type of tight end. Like, some of the catches he's been making are incredible. Like, he's very athletic for a tight end. And, I like him. Should we bring up Tommy Tremble real quick since there was news earlier today?
I think we should. I think you absolutely should bring up Tommy Tremble.
Yeah, the only thing I'm worried about is so the Panthers traded Dan Arnold away earlier today, which kind of thrusts Tremble into the main tight end spot for the Panthers. We saw him get a little bit of usage on Thursday night. My only issue, though, is if we are actually, you know, the Robbie Anderson people are upset that he's disappearing from this offense. Do we really expect that Tommy Tremble is going to go over?
I don't know. I don't know if we can expect it, but, you know, those people playing tight end premium leagues should at least be aware of this.
Yes, I think
that's it. And I do not care for that format. I think the same person who came up with it probably came up with that weird one that Dan's playing in where good quarterback play is bad for you. I don't know what that's all
about. By the way, kickers, if you miss an extra point, it's worth 15 points. So it's really, it's a great league. I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm having fun.
Oh, there's something for everybody in fantasy football. That is the joy and glory of it. All right. Hopefully we can help everybody out here with ranking our top five here. These are our top five waiver wire ads for each of us this week, regardless of position. And I'll give the guys some time to collect their thoughts and I'll go through mine. Hubbard's definitely one here, and clearly it has to do with if you're a CMC owner as well, he certainly rockets to the top because you got to fill that void somewhere. It's really difficult to replace the 1-1 overall player. Just ask me because I had 3 or 4 one picks last year. Did not go well. Anyway, Tim Patrick is still 2 for me because I'm still just incensed that he is not rostered everywhere. Peyton Barber is 3, but I am terrified, just like Pat Fitzmaurice mentioned earlier, about having to wait that extra day to see what happens there. But at this point, I mean, they went after Peyton Barber, right? And they brought in Peyton Barber, and now Peyton Barber's running the football. So I don't know. I guess I got to buy into the Raiders. And speaking of buying into the Raiders, how about Hunter Renfrow is 4 for me, and 5 is a toss-up between Jacoby Myers and Marquez Callaway in terms of percentage, too. Just to recap for me, I think Hubbard, if you want him on your team, you're probably going to have to be aggressive somewhere in that 25 to 30% range. You don't have to go that far. It might come down a little bit in the next 24 hours if we get more news on CMC's injury. And if he's going to miss less time than we think, then obviously maybe just 1 week. Well, then maybe you have to spend a little less, but keep an eye on that. Patrick, I think, is somewhere in that, you know, 10% range, give or take. And then single digits here for Peyton Barber, Renfrow, Callaway, and Myers. If you want to be aggressive in the full PPR, I get it. That's a player that I do see, you know, maybe if, yeah, we're going to spend 5 or 6, if you want to go 7 or 8 just to have him, because I think in the full PPR, he is going to be useful. Dan, you're useful. Give us your top 5 guys for this week in terms of waiver wire ads.
That's the nicest thing you've ever said to me.
The last thing I ever say to you.
I'll take it. So. It doesn't matter. It's on record now, recorded. And Pat, you were here. Chuba Hubbard is definitely my number one overall. He's 20%, as I said. I realize that that's probably not going to get him, given you two crazy guys out there who are bidding like 90%. But I will go 20%. If you have to, 25%, that's fine. And then 2, 3, and 4 are really all grouped together for me. It is the receivers, Jacoby Myers, Emmanuel Sanders, and Tim Patrick. I think all these guys, if you have any remote depth problems at wide receiver, should be added immediately. 10% for me, because I don't think any of them are superstars, but all are playable. After that, 5, 6, and 7, I'll just lump them all together again, is Marquez Callaway, Kenneth Gainwell, and Peyton Barber, reluctantly, all 5% guys for me.
All right, Pat, how about you? Who is your top 5 waiver wire ads for week 4 in the NFL?
Chuba Hubbard, number one with a bullet this week for sure. And look, you know who you are, you running back deprived fantasy managers out there. You trying to muddle by with Leonard Fournette as your RB2. You need this guy, so don't be a skinflint like Dan. Go out and spend 30 to 35% on Hubbard. Peyton Barber at number 2. Again, it's going to be a headache. And as of now, early in the week, I've got him number 2 just because the situation sets up well in a favorable matchup against the Chargers. Although we could very well see that fab just lit on fire if Josh Jacobs is ruled okay to be okay earlier this week. So as of now, I'm thinking about 8 to 10%. And then number 3, 4, and 5 are Emmanuel Sanders, Jacoby Myers, and Tim Patrick, all worth about, I don't know, $7 or $6 this week. So all kind of lumped together there, 3 through 5.
All right, let's stream a couple guys here real quick, and then we'll talk about the players on the roster bubble, whether we're going to keep or drop them. But before we do, let's get to the defenses of the week. Pat, do you have a defense in particular this week you like the stream because of the matchup or maybe because of the play that you saw this past week?
Sorry, Dan. It's all about matchup. Tennessee what? Titans.
Yes. What? Make it 2 for 2. And the Titans defense is not great. So I think we can all agree that this is really just a pure matchup play, right, Pat?
Yes. Targeting the Jets, I'm afraid.
Sorry, Dan. Dan, do you have a defense you would like to stream?
You guys are the worst. Obviously, it's the Titans. That's the obvious pickup. I will be picking them up and playing them against the Jets. That's the obvious, even though their defense, again, as you mentioned, they don't sack the quarterback and they don't create turnovers. It is irrelevant. It is irrelevant. Start them against the Jets. 100%. That is the defense you want this week.
Now that you're picking up and starting them, it gives me pause because now all of a sudden it's like, I feel like you're going to mush it. Because you're like, yeah, you know what? I'm going to go against my own team. And in classic Dan fashion, you're going to start them. And then
all of a sudden,
the Jets put up 30. All right. How about kickers of the week, too? Obviously, for me, it's always Rodrigo Blankenship of Indianapolis because he's got the coolest look. I loved him in college. I'll never forget the first time I saw Rodrigo Blankenship. And I said, who? And I looked up at the screen. Best. I think I was, look at my phone or something. The game was on and they said Rodrigo Blankenship. And I said, that can't be a real person. And I looked up and there he was. With his goggles and at the time the long hair he had too, but looks a pretty solid kicker. I like the matchup here for him, and Indianapolis is not exactly an offense that is always going to get sixes instead of threes. So I think that's the matchup I'm looking for. Dan, is there a kicker you want to stream? I'm going to stream Rodrigo against Miami.
I think Blankenship's a good pickup actually for this week. I'm probably just going to go with Mason Crosby, who again hit both of his 50-yard attempts, and they go against Pittsburgh. It's home. It's before the weather gets bad, so I'm okay with that. But I think it's kind of an ideal scenario where I don't expect Pittsburgh to put up a ton of points in this game. So I don't think the Packers have to go crazy and try to make sure that they're going for touchdowns every single time. And I think the Steelers have a good defense, but not a defense that will obviously cause Aaron Rodgers to be unable to move the ball. That strikes me as a recipe for a lot of field goal attempts. So if I'm going after one guy for me, it's probably Mason Crosby.
Dan, I'm not a hot take guy. You know that. But after two back-to-back losses at home in Pittsburgh, are you worried about the Steelers at all?
Yeah, that's not a hot take guy at all. I mean,
we've seen older, we've seen experienced teams maybe get off the slow starts and we go, yeah, they'll figure it out. No. It's a veteran coach, a veteran quarterback, but this seems weird right now.
I always sort of expect the Steelers. Like, I know when I'm picking over-unders before the season, I always gravitate towards the overs for the Steelers because I'm like, it's the Steelers. It's Mike Tomlin. I mean, they'll figure it out. Ben, Pat and I have talked about this. I feel actually bad for Ben right now because it's basically like, okay, I've got to figure out a way to survive the 4 or 5 seconds, and then I can find Najee Harris for a 3-yard score. Mm-hmm. Like, that's all it is. Right. It's nothing good about that offense right now. Their defense is good. They've obviously been dealing with the Watt injury, but with the injuries to the wide receivers, with how bad that offensive line is, I am very concerned about what we're going to see here from the Steelers.
Pat, give me your Steelers take and a kicker too, just for good luck.
Yeah, the Steelers' offense is hideous, so I'm kind of in the same boat with Dan. I think it's an 8-8 team. I think Tomlin would be doing a great job to get them to 8-8 this year.
Just to be clear, it'd be pretty impressive if he got them to 8-8.
Well, I assume
seventh, right.
An I assume Pat game. Means there's a tie somewhere in there now this year.
Oh, that's sorry. Oh, no, force of habit. Not, oh my goodness. So
I just stopped saying San Diego Chargers last
week. That's right.
Don't worry.
9-8 would be a miracle. I'll throw out Matt Prater. I know we probably don't love the matchup against a good Rams defense this week, but I think Prater's been one of the best pure, on talent alone, one of the best pure kickers in the league for a few years now. And he's kicking for a very healthy offense and one that is not going to be affected by weather very much throughout the season.
All right. And speaking of kicking too, shout out to Justin Tucker, man. That was incredible. And that ball went up in the air, I think we all, when they showed the replay of the fans on the opposite end, that was the thing that got me, because you saw everybody in Detroit raise their hands and automatically then go like this at the same time, put their hands on their heads about 3 seconds later. Yeah. Oh my goodness. And what, he had more yards than the entire Bears offense, I think, on that one kick. Right?
And the angle of the field goal, you could not tell which way the ball bounced off that upright. So you're just waiting for, is the net going to move? Is the ball going to land back on the field of play? That was just a wild moment.
All right, let's close on this here. These are players on the roster bubble, And I threw some people out here. And again, the roster percentages are coming from CBS, which has a lot of pay leagues. And that's why we're using it, because this is not, you know, these are people who are involved and are taking things super serious. It's a little less casual. So this is a little bit better place to get these roster percentages from. I want to start with Ronald Jones, who is still going into at least this recording this afternoon on a Monday, is still 77% rostered. Dan Harris, is it time to drop Ronald Jones?
Drop it like it's the hottest thing you ever dropped in your life. No interest in rostering Ronald Jones at this point whatsoever anymore. Feel free to send him to the waiver wire.
How about you, Pat? I was looking at fantasy points versus roster percentage, and Ronald Jones was the highest of the worst.
Totally agree. In a standard 12-team, 18-person roster league, there's just no point to keep him. When would you be able to start him and feel comfortable about it? I just can't fathom a scenario.
Yeah. A.J. Dillon, 71% rostered. Would you keep or drop him on a roster, Pat?
You know, I'd drop him if I needed something else, because we thought that he was going to be playing sort of a Jamal Williams role where it was sort of a 1A, 1B thing, and it's not. He is a straight backup to Aaron Jones, and I just don't see anything short of an Aaron Jones injury making Dillon playable.
Yeah, I would agree with you, Pat. Dan, are you 3-for-3 on that, on A.J. Dillon?
I'm not exactly, because I would try my best to hold him if I could, just because I think that there are a limited number of even handcuff-type backs that you feel confident would be an RB1 if something happened to the starter in front of them, and these injuries happen like that. We saw it with McCaffrey. So I would try to hold him just because of the high-end potential, but I agree, this is less than what I expected to see from him so far.
I would try to trade him to the Aaron Jones owner. Maybe you have a little bit more value there for that person than you do, and you can go use that extra roster spot, make a 2-for-1 deal or something, and go pick up Tim Patrick or something. Darnell Mooney, 62%, right on the bubble. Certainly a very disappointing outing for the Bears. I'm just going to use the word disappointing because I think that's the fairest one. 62%. I love Darnell Mooney, but are things going to get better there in Chicago, or is it time to drop him here, Dan?
I would try to hold if I could. I just, you know, he's running the most routes. He's playing the most snaps on the Bears. Like we talked about, it certainly can't get worse than what we saw on
Sunday. You say that, and then Justin Fields got sacked 6,000 times
yesterday. If it gets worse than what we just saw, then I'm just quitting as a fantasy football analyst. Bye-bye, guys. I would try to hold him if I could, just because I think there is still so much upside there. But if you absolutely have to, you can move on.
Pat, how about you? Darnell Mooney, 62%.
Hold. I think it's going to look better. Fields, you know, he was a very competent passer in college. He's got a great arm. And as bad as things look for the Bears offense, I think things might look a lot better this week against the Lions and a secondary that at this point is just kind of a smoldering crater. We should have seen Hollywood Brown have 200 yards and three touchdowns yesterday. Guys were running loose in the secondary all day, so I would not be surprised if Mooney and Robinson and those guys actually ate this week.
Hollywood Brown, oof. There's no words yesterday. No words. I'm just... Oof. Anyway, Trey Lance, 55%. Is it time to move on here for Trey Lance, or are you going to stay a little bit more patient here, Pat?
I'm being patient. I want that rushing goodness eventually, and Jimmy didn't look that sharp last night. So I think Trey's time is coming.
Yeah, 55%. He actually can make the other argument, Dan. Would you want to be adding Trey Lance after he got dropped by a lot of teams last week?
Yep. I think just the upside potential is through the roof, and I think it's coming sooner rather than later. So I would add him if he's available. I would not drop him if I rostered him.
All right, last one here. Curtis Samuel, 41%. And I'm bringing him up because, you know, sometimes when you have players who are on IR and you don't have IR spots on rosters, and he's just clogging up your roster. And there's so many wide receivers we talked about today. I mean, going all the way up to guys like Patrick and Myers and Sanders, and then even down interesting guys like Terrace Marshall and a few other names that we mentioned. Dan, would you continue to roster Curtis Samuel?
I certainly would if I had rostered him to this point. Like if you've sort of, you know, taken all the lumps of missing his first 3 weeks, then I would. Look, Samuel was a guy I was really high on coming into the draft season before it became apparent that he was not going to be able to begin the season. I think there's a lot of potential, even with Taylor Heinicke as a quarterback. I think he's a good fit for that offense. So, yeah, I'd be trying to hold. And if he was available, I'd be interested in picking him up.
How about you, Pat? What are your thoughts?
I'll echo what Dan said. I mean, I'd be maybe more willing to part with him if D'Ami Brown had done more with all the snaps and the routes that he's been running. But D'Ami just really hasn't popped yet. And, you know, Heinicke is functional. Fitzpatrick is going to be back eventually. Like, this is still a competent passing offense, so I'd be holding.
All right, there you have it. That's the waiver wire for week four in the NFL. And, of course, you can always check out all the great content here at fantasypros.com. We have so many articles up there, all of our rankings for the waiver wire, in case you want to dig deeper to find the names that you need for your rosters this week. It's very important, obviously, because this was a very tough week for injuries in the NFL. And don't forget also about our Fantasy Pros waiver wire assistant, part of My Playbook. Go to fantasypros.com/myplaybook to get that waiver wire assistant and help you with all your ad and drops. And don't forget about the cheat sheets as well over at My Playbook. Only premium subscribers can utilize the waiver wire assistant, but our cheat sheets in My Playbook are completely free, so check them out as well. I want to thank all the sponsors of today's show, including Bachan's, the Japanese barbecue sauce you can't live without. That's bachans.com/fantasypros. They use the promo code fantasypros at checkout. Also, don't forget, turn your fantasy football skills into day trading. Go to www.t3live.com/fantasy. That's www.t3live.com/fantasy. And of course, the fun, easy, simplified way to play, Prize Picks. That's right, Daily Fantasy Simplified. Use that promo code GRIDIRON to receive 100% instant deposit match for up to $100. Again, that promo code GRIDIRON to receive 100% instant deposit match up to $100. And once again, just to reiterate, this was such a nice hour to just talk football with you two gentlemen. I love our time together, all of us here, all the hosts, and everyone who works behind the scenes of Fantasy Pros. And Dan, over the summer, you know, people, you know, when they were watching us doing leading off every single morning, the two of us, there were some days where we would finish and say, man, I just needed to do that today. That was just nice. And I just want everybody to know we need this show just as much as you need this show. And it was good for us to be here for this hour talking football with you. This is our safe space just as much as it's yours. Even though it's our job, it is still our joy. And we take great joy in bringing you great content here at Fantasy Pros. So once again, I want to thank all of you for joining us today and always here at Fantasy Pros. That'll do it for us. But the story of the game goes on. For Dan and Pat, I'm Joey P. We will see you next time, kids.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Fantasy Pros and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Discover a new educational and interactive podcast, Stories for Kids by Lingo Kids. Our episodes are packed with fun activities. Right, Elliot?
Oh, yes! We went shape hunting around the block, and we found spheres and cubes on the street.
That was great fun. Join Stories for Kids, the Lingo Kids podcast, inspiring you to learn while having fun. Listen to Stories for Kids on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
NFL Total Access, the podcast, is getting you ready for the 2024 NFL Draft. I'm your host, Andrew Levy, and I'll be delivering two shows a week to make sure you're caught up on the very latest NFL news, including every free agency move and how it changes the draft needs of your favorite team. Draft experts and talent scouts, mock drafts, and a few shock drafts, too. NFL Total Access, the podcast, is already on the clock on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.